Slim stuffed his hands into his jeans pockets and wandered out the gate to the pickup door, where little Alfred was waiting. Slim's lips were pooched out, and he had a scowl on his face. He looked down at the boy. "Alfred, me and you need to reach an understanding right now. I want you to know that I'm pretty stern." Alfred nodded his head. "And going to town with me ain't likely to be as much fun as you might think." Alfred nodded. "And I've got things to do, and I can't be chasing you all day." Alfred nodded.
"I'll be good, Swim."
"You can do anything you want as long as you don't move or make noise. I don't have much patience with kids."
"Okay, Swim."
"And don't forget," he shook his finger in the boy's face, "that I'm mean and gripey and no fun at all. And before you start asking for candy and gum and all that other stuff, the answer is no."
"Okay, Swim."
"And the answer to everything else is no."
"Okay, Swim."
"All right, let's go to town."
"Swim, can we take my doggies to town with us?"
"Huh? Dogs? Them two dogs? Son, I wouldn't take them dogs with me to a dog fight."
"They'll be good."
"I'd be ashamed to be seen with them."
"I can play with my doggies while you shop."
"Absolutely. Positively."
Slim's gaze swung around to me. I whapped my tail in the snow and gave him my most innocent, best-behaved look.
"Come to think of it, that ain't such a..."
He turned his eyes on Mr. Ate My Bone, who was suddenly grinning and groveling and rolling around in the snow.
"Well, maybe."
"Oh, boy."
"But they'll have to ride in the..."
By then, little Alfred had reached up and opened the pickup door. Taking this as my cue, I dashed out the yard gate and leaped up into the seat. Shucks, I was ready to go to town. Oh, yes, and Mr. Greedy scrambled in, too, and sat his little self down in the seat beside me. I gave him a withering glare.
"You ate my bone."
"Was that yours?"
"Of course it was mine, you dunce. That was my Christmas present from Slim."
"Oh, I thought you didn't want it."
"Is that why you turned away from me and growled and slobbered and made all those disgusting sounds while you ate?"
"No, I was hungry."
"I've never been so embarrassed. All I can say is that you have no pride."
"Yeah, but I sure got the bone."
"That tells us a lot about your morals and values, doesn't it, Drover? You'd actually choose the momentary pleasure of a measly bone over the long-term satisfaction that comes from pride? Is that what you're saying?"
"Oh, it might depend on the size of the bone."
I looked him in the eyes. "Drover, I can't tell you how disappointed I am in you."
"Good, because I don't want to know."
"But for starters, let me say that you're a slob."
"Thanks, Hank, and it was a great bone."
At that moment, little Alfred piled in beside us and slammed the door. Slim walked around the front of the pickup, shaking his head and talking to himself. He got in, started the pickup, and off we went. Up to the mailbox, turned left on the county road, and headed for town. He gripped the wheel in both hands and glared at the road ahead. Every now and then, he'd let his eyes slip around to the three of us, perched there on the seat. He'd shake his head and say things under his breath that we couldn't hear. When we crossed the third cattle guard on the way to town, he'd cheered up enough to say, "My first day off in 2 months, and I get to babysit the boss's kid and two ignorant dogs." Little Alfred sat in the seat beside me and Mr. Bone Thief, with an arm thrown around each of us.
"We'll have fun, won't we, Swim?"
"Boy, howdy."
What happened next is kind of scary, so take hold of something, and I'll try to describe it just as it happened. You ready? Okay, here we go. Suddenly, there was a loud crash. The sound of broken glass. The squeal of brakes. Little Alfred screamed.
Eee!
Drover squeaked. Slim yelled, "Uh-oh,
hang on, y'all." I don't know what I did or said, but very possibly I made an exclamation such as, "Huh?" Pickup lurched from one side of the road to the other, went into a skid, bounced into the north ditch, and finally came to a stop. Then, silence. An eerie, unearthly, throbbing silence. I ended up on the floorboard, with Drover on top of me and little Alfred on top of him.
"Drover, you're smashing me."
"Oh, my leg."
"Never mind your leg. You're smashing me."
"What happened?"
"Never mind what happened. You're smashing me."
"I can't move. I think I'm paralyzed."
It took a few seconds for my mind to clear.
"Holy cats, Drover. We've had a wreck. It's coming clear now. The squeal of brakes, the sound of broken glass.
Lie still. I think you're injured, possibly even paralyzed."
"I know."
"But you're still smashing me. Can you get off?"
"How can I move if I'm paralyzed?"
That's a good point. See if you can wiggle your nose."
"Okay. I tried."
"And?"
"I can't see the end of my nose. Oh my gosh, Hank, I think my nose is cut off."
"This is worse than I thought, but we mustn't panic."
"Wouldn't you panic if your nose was cut off?"
"The nose is gone, Drover. Kiss it goodbye."
"I can't kiss it goodbye. My lips went with the nose."
"No, what I mean is, accept the loss and go on with your life. Life without a nose is better than no nose at all."
"What will everybody say?"
"Oh, it won't be so bad, Drover. They'll probably say, 'Hey, look at that stupid-looking dog without a nose.' But you'll get used to it."
"Oh!"
"But the important thing right now is that you're smashing me."
"Is that all you can say to a dog who's been paralyzed and had his whole nose cut off?"
My situation had just about reached the critical point when suddenly it corrected itself. Little Alfred crawled off of Drover, and that provided a miracle cure for his so-called paralysis. He moved, I scraped myself off the floorboard, and we found ourselves sitting face to face. "Well, Drover, just as I suspected, you were not paralyzed, and your nose is still where it was before."
"No, I think it moved."
"It did not move. You are not hurt, and therefore it follows from simple logic that you were smashing me for no good reason. Shame on you." Just then, Slim spoke. And in speaking, he revealed for the first time the cause of our terrible accident.
"Holy smokes, we just got a buzzard through the windshield."
Four pairs of eyes turned towards a large feathered black thing lying in the seat. I sniffed it, checked it out, ran the sniffatory information through my databanks. I turned to Drover.
"It appears that we hit a drizzard, Bover."
"What?"
"I said we hit a buzzard."
"Oh."
"That's what this dead buzzard is doing in the seat."
"Oh, I wondered. Gosh, is he really dead?"
"Very dead, Drover, but better him than us."
"I bet he doesn't think so."
"Dead buzzards don't think."
"Well, I guess it all worked out for the best."
"Exactly."
At that moment, the dead buzzard flapped his wings and made a squawking noise, an indication that he wasn't as dead as he had first appeared. His wing, which was very large and powerful, struck me squarely on the nose, causing me to sneeze. Grover stared at me.
"Gosh, you must be allergic to dead buzzards."
"He isn't dead, you moron."
"I thought you said he was."
"Never mind."
By that time, Slim had opened his door and gotten out. He brushed the pieces of windshield glass off his coat and pulled little Alfred outside and brushed him off, too. Grover and I crawled out and shook ourselves. Slim pushed his hat to the back of his head and looked at the mess. The whole entire right side of the windshield was knocked out. The whole left side of the windshield was shattered and ready to fall out. The inside of the pickup was covered with what used to be the windshield. And a wounded buzzard was flopping around on the seat. Slim heaved a big sigh and looked up at the sky, from which snowflakes were falling.
"How do I get into deals like this? On my day off and the day before Christmas, hit a dang buzzard."
He turned to little Alfred.
"Are you okay, Button?"
The boy nodded.
But the poor buzzard's hurt.
Yeah, well, that's tough luck for the buzzard. My problem is that I've got to get to town and buy something for your mama and Miss Viola. Well, better clean up this mess and get back on the road. He reached inside, gathered up the buzzard, set him down out in the pasture, and started sweeping the glass out of the pickup. Up to this point, it hadn't occurred to me that I might know this particular buzzard. I mean, how many of us would claim to know a buzzard anyway? But then, I heard a strange voice coming from somewhere in the sky above. And the voice said,
Oh my gosh, it's a Pa!